We are back in the 7 o'clock hour of Sports Talk this August the 8th, only 2 days away from preseason action. Black and Gold will be taking on the Arizona Cardinals soon enough.
Well, Steve, okay, football is here. You might say, well, Bobby, LSU's in camp, Tulane's in camp, everybody's in camp, the Saints now, a number of practices they have.
More preseason games tonight.
But, But from a local perspective, obviously, yeah, a couple of NFL games tonight. You had the Hall of Fame game that really, when you look at the bulk of games, the tackling really starts this weekend. When you look at the whole league and that everybody's playing, there's nobody that got a bye this weekend. You know what I mean? Well, it's not going to be NFL. I'm sure, Charlie, you probably can look at this. We got a couple of NFL games tonight. I guarantee, even though it's preseason, they're to have an NFL game. Somebody's playing Friday night. Somebody's playing Saturday and Sunday, right?
Right now, New England's up 7-0 over Carolina in the second. Also in the second, the New York Giants have a 7-3 lead over the Detroit Lions.
So, with that being said, Charlie and Steve, the NFL probably got a preseason game scheduled tomorrow night.
Right? Oh, yeah. Three games scheduled tomorrow. And then a bunch scheduled on Saturday, and a couple scheduled on Sunday. So,
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, preseason football, all you want.
Yeah, and then you know what's interesting? We're going to play the Cardinals on Saturday.
Prime time.
Yeah, but I mean, not prime time locally, because a lot of teams are playing prime time. But then next Sunday against the 49ers, we are prime time on Fox. I think there's only going to be two NFL games.
Correct, right.
I thought it'd be only us, but no, I think there's two games. Come next Sunday night after we play the Cardinals. We play the 49ers in San Fran. There's only one of two games on that Sunday night.
Yeah, we've got, obviously, Saints at San Francisco, and the other matchup is a good one, Green Bay at Denver.
At Denver. Now, is it basically the same time? So is the,
that's both are probably, 7 o'clock Central kickoffs. Yeah.
We on Fox and they on NFL Network.
It just
you can figure out how they're going to do it. And then we're going to close out in the Superdome against the Tennessee Titans. Now, is that a Saturday or Sunday game, Steve?
That's a Sunday game, too.
But is it in the afternoon? Or?
Yeah, that is a 1 o'clock start.
Yeah, so kind
of we'll
be
on NFL Network and, of course, WWO Radio.
Yeah, we used to like those 12 noon kickoffs, so maybe a little Bloody Mary tailgating to get ready
for the
regular season. You have a little extra hour instead of 12 noon. It'll be a 1 o'clock kickoff. So, no, the NFL does it right. How they have all these games and how they entice you to watch and to want to be part of it.
Yeah, as much as people want to complain, oh, it's not real football, you still want to see any kind of glimpse of what's to come soon enough, because life is rough without the NFL in your life.
Well, the thing is, we like contact, and football is king. I mean, there's a reason why the big bucks, or whether it's streaming or the networks, because you look at the top 100 programs, and it's all about programming. People still, even you know, like reality TV, NFL is the ultimate reality TV. You know, and
especially right now too, with you know jobs on the line.
Yeah, and whether we want to admit or not, maybe it's going back to the Roman Colosseum, gladiator type thinking. That now it's not as barbaric as it was back then, a couple of thousand years ago. But it's we like controlled violence, you know. Like that's why, to me, and Charlie, you can come in here with us, Steve. You know, when they were like all of a sudden the NFL, they just trying to say, "Oh, we're trying to do the right thing." When they have fights in training camp,
right?
Does that do anything negative as far as the game? No, the fans look at it well. You know, you can't really fight. You got to play within the rules. But that's not...
You get on the field and see what tensions are like out there.
Training camp fights has always been a part of football. And again, we talked about orientation 101. If you, in the heat of the battle, against another team and you're competing at a high level, it'd be like that, the Saints against the 49ers next week. If something breaks out and it's a mayhem, don't take off your damn helmet. No, somebody might jack you.
That's the only thing that bothers me. It's like, why would anyone want to punch someone in a helmet?
No,
I know you mentioned yesterday, give him a choke chop.
No, you can't go for, when you don't have a helmet on, you can't go straight to the face. No, you can go uppercut. and you know, you hit him in the throat.
Yeah.
No, I'm giving. No, I'm a quarterback.
Advice to all you kids out there.
But that's tricks of the trade that I know when I witnessed a number of fights. That's what they do. But don't ever take off your helmet because you think like, oh yeah, come on, and then someone's going to come out of left field and freaking waylay you.
Well, the thing with the Detroit Lions and New York Giants, things just got way out of control where it was just disrupting the practice too much. Even their one session on Tuesday was like, all right, enough, cut it, practice is over.
Yeah, practice over. No,
but yeah, a little pushing and shoving and some jawing back and forth, fine. I guess when fists are constantly getting thrown, it's a problem.
No, it doesn't need to be a team event. What I mean by that, a team fight. It could be one-on-one. So what? Then the coach can discipline those players. Let's say one player has a problem with another player, and they get in a fight. Okay, go cool off. Go on the side and get away. But then it can't escalate where it's a snowball effect, where now you got 12, 15.
That are just itching to start something.
And just wanted to hit somebody.
Right.
No, do it legally. I mean, come on. That's why you love football. I mean, you can... because it's not assault. In public, it'd be assault, but a football field is not assault if you hit someone. Now, they can't really assault the quarterbacks no more. You got to like hit them and lay them down. But no, we love football.
Gently.
Yeah, exactly, gently.
We'll find out what happened at today's Saints practice in Irvine, California, from our voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, when we get back from the break right here on WWRadio. So be right back. Stay tuned. We're back here on Sports Talk going out to Irvine, California, where the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, joins us. How you been doing out there, Mike? I know getting ready for a big one Saturday in Arizona.
Right, wrapped up day 13 today.
13.
I'm going out tomorrow. I'm going to register to vote here. I feel like I've been here long enough to do that now. So the team leaves tomorrow for Phoenix, as will we. Wrapped up with full pads today. Very spirited, at least for Trevor Penning and Willie Gay, who got into it. But yeah, I feel like, you know, it depends on what room you're looking in. Wide receiver room is banged up. Linebacker room is banged up. But
the cornerback room?
Quarterback room. I think Deuce said, you know, it's time for them to be hitting somebody else. And I think that goes with the territory, you know, from July 22nd, 13 days, the last several full pads. I think it's time to test the market in Phoenix.
Now, Haas, what do you get out of a combination of yesterday's practice going into today, and obviously you're going to really tackle on Saturday?
Right, I think that's what you have to do, yeah, right? And the weird part is I'm watching football. Now, that doesn't mean anything to you guys. It's almost 7:30. It's 5:26, and I've been watching it for an hour. So
that's okay, a beautiful thing.
It takes a little getting used to. But I think you're right. I think, you know, the thudding and the hitting – until you are tackled to the ground, and I was watching a couple of coaches talk about it on television today, because it goes, you know, philosophically, do you want to play these guys in the preseason? Do you not want to play them? And it's a judgment call, but some coaches believe you got to get tackled to the ground, and that's what they've not done. They've hit hard, you get banged in the hole, you get knocked down, and you go to the ground, but you're not necessarily tackled to the ground. And so that's the really next phase of the evaluation. And until you really see them against somebody else, I mean, everybody, the O-line, D-line, they know their moves. They know what's going to happen. So you got to see it against somebody else. You got to see it for real.
And, you know, Haas, looking at, you know, guys maybe that you could see, what about Jacobson, the tight end? Because, you know, it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind, Juwan Johnson, you know, if you're not there. But basically, what I was reading is like, he's like the number two guy right now behind Foster Morrow, and a big target. I think both Spencer Rattler or Jake Haener will utilize him in the red zone. But I thought that was interesting that he's caught the coach's attention and they've given him the opportunity. So, you know, we talk about Jordan Mims and different players who have, this is like for real. When they're going against the Cardinals and how they're being evaluated like they will against San Fran and the Titans. But Jacobson at tight end, what's your take? Because it seems like coming from basketball to football that he's pretty confident right now.
Yeah, he's the biggest guy. They say it's a tie as the tallest, but he considers himself 6'8", which would make him the tallest Saint. You know, he's been around, played some, and he's a as you know, these quarterbacks, they get favorite targets. Like Spencer Rattler likes to go to Kevin Austin, the UFL guy. Jacobson is a favorite of Jake Haener. They connected a couple of times today, and he's making the most of it. He's been around as free agent with this team since 23. It's funny because if you asked me, because he's been around, if you asked me who I thought from a tight end standpoint has made a bigger impression, it would be Dallin Holker.
From Colorado State.
He just seems to make an impression. He makes hard catches. He's tough. Takes the hit. He knows he's going to get the hit. And I feel like he's got a little more, maybe not as good a blocker as Jacobson. He's not as big, but he's got a little more speed. He's got a little more what I think offensively that this offense requires. So he's, as you go, Juwan Johnson and Foster Moreau, and we're looking at that third guy. Yeah, but to me, the difference becomes there's such different skill sets, body types between Holker and Jacobson. So you could kind of go either way. But to me, Holker's been kind of, from a tight end standpoint, and I don't know where you put Taysom, but he's been very impressive. Got rookie out of Colorado State.
Going back to Jacobson, Hoss, when I was looking at, if you're an athlete and you have confidence, here's a guy that a former power forward who had started 123 basketball games at Nebraska and Iowa State. He averaged right under 10 points a game, 6 rebounds in his final season at Iowa State. I think if you followed the NBA, you've heard of this name, Halliburton. He's on the Olympic team. He's an all-star guard with Indiana Pacers. Well, Jacobson played with him in college. And then you throw in there, he's not like a young guy. He's not overwhelmed. He's 27 years of age. So look at his journey. Think about this. If you're an athlete and where you're at, his journey has taken him from playing in March Madness to playing professional basketball in Europe, in the Ukraine, and now playing in the NFL. You want to talk about a warrior or a traveling all-star at the highest level. That caught my attention. Was interesting about Jacobson and that basketball, football. So I think it might have been Luke Johnson or someone must have asked him, are you the best basketball player on the Saints team? I would say those credentials, someone might say, oh, I'm better than him. I would go with him, considering that he did play professionally in Europe with Ukraine. That, because you have these pickup games and all that, that Jacobson probably, with his height and all that, that he can bring a lot to the table. And he said when he played basketball, his physicality, when rebounding and all that, has helped him in football.
Right. He had the football mentality.
Right, right.
When he was on the basketball court. I guess for him, the next phase for him would be to actually play, right?
Right,
play
right.
Yeah. Seattle's practice squad, then the Colts practice squad. Practice squad, Saints practice squad. So it's next level time for him to kind of complete the journey because, yeah, he's
27.
He's been around some teams, but mostly on the practice squad. So we'll see. It wouldn't be the first basketball player the Saints have had at tight end, and that's a pretty high bar.
Hoss, think about this. In pro football history, do we have the best basketball player ever? I don't know. That'd be a good trivia or homework assignment. If we all look at somebody, they were a stud in basketball, but they were like a stud in the NFL.
Jimmy Graham?
Is there anybody better than Jimmy Graham? When he was at his best, he was up there with Gronkowski. Now, this is before, Kittle and then Kelsey
right.
with the Chiefs and all. But I remember Jimmy Graham was up there with Gronk.
Yeah. It's the basketball, the problem is you have to take out, two or three of the guys automatically, the guards. And so there's only a few body types from a basketball standpoint that kind of translate. But Jimmy Graham, he was a beast. And, maybe we got spoiled, right? Because that's the bar. We think of, Drew to Jimmy in the seam, touchdowns, back shoulders.
Well, that's a tough bar. Hey, Hoss, what came to my mind? You know who was an unbelievable basketball player and one of the greatest tight ends in NFL history?
Chief with, and an Atlanta Falcon?
No. Him, because he played at Cal Berkeley.
Gonzalez.
Tony Gonzalez. But even better with the Antonio Chargers. Gates? Antonio Gates with the Chargers. Where he went, Charlie? The Akron or somebody?
Kent State.
No. So that's why when you look
all at those tight ends.
When you look at Antonio, yes, that's a basketball translation. So Antonio Gates, then you look at Tony Gonzalez and Jimmy Graham. I don't know. I'm not saying that he's the next coming of them, but if you can be a little bit of that, that could help. Because right now I think it's wide open at the tight end position. Now Foster Morrow, I think, is the more complete tight end. Juwan Johnson going from receiver to tight end. And the one thing I still look at, and I think Coach Kubiak, they want to utilize the tight end in the offense. You have a number of opportunities. And even Derek Carr, you don't think he knows how to use the tight end? He burned the Saints. Who's the kid from Georgia Tech that
Darren
went to
Waller.
The Giants? Yeah, Darren Waller, who just retired. So you know he knows how to use the tight end. This is a great team to be on if you're a stud tight end. Can you take advantage of opportunity? I think both Derek Carr understands that and Clint Kubiak. So that's just my opinion. I think that's a fair assessment of what you look at the past experiences and what we expect from the tight end with this offense.
Well, that's what that's what I want to see. Because, you know, we do have to throw Taysom into this conversation from an athletic standpoint at tight end. But how is this tight end going to be used? Are we asking this tight end to get off the ball? Right, and get open or blocking, you know, wide zone blocking, that kind of stuff. So I just don't know what's the top priority of the tight end, one tight end, two tight end set in this offense. I think look who's on this team. Dallin, Jacobson, Foster, Kevin Rader, who they just signed, he's actually done pretty well himself. So you look at the body type, and it just feels to me, other than Juwan, who's a former wide receiver, that's kind of what they're looking at. I mean, the more bigger type. We're not asking them to blow off the ball and beat guys, but block, get open, and catch the ball when it comes to you.
Well, Hoss, you're old enough, not as old as me, but you're old enough. I can tell you right now, and I'm not blowing smoke. I'm not being a homer. Two of the best blocking tight ends in NFL history were with the Saints. I'm going to explain it to you. Ricky Jackson told me, he goes, the games are easy. I hate to go against Hobie Brenner.
Yeah.
Hobie Brenner from USC, and then we would do a two tight end set. We called it Ace, two wideouts, two tight ends, and one running back, and John Tice. Remember his brother Mike Tice, the head coach with the Vikings and all that, the University of Maryland? John Tice and Hobie Brenner, whoever they had to block, they were always blocked. You know, you're trying to set the edge with Reuben Mays and the run game and all, like you said, Alvin Kamara. So Foster Morrow could maybe potentially be that guy, but are you winning all the time? I've never seen an individual like this. You know how when you look at a stud player and like Chase Young, that might be the case. Well, opponents can't block him. They got to chip him with the back or the tight end. Or you might look at a player like old school, like Lawrence Taylor. You look at Reggie White. You look at T.J. Watt or Boza. Or when an individual's on a roll and he's almost unstoppable. So that's where the case in point to me, when I look at a player, let me tell you how dominant they are. Like, if on offense or defense, let's say you're on offense and you got to set the edge in the running game, do you win or you lose? Not win some of the time, 50-50, or not winning 80%. What if you win all the time? And that's what Hobie Brenner and John Tice did. So I'll look at Foster Morrow and what we do in the tight end position. And you know what makes Kittle so special? And Kubiak knows this. Clint Kubiak knows this. People think of him as all tight end, boy, he's real athletic catching the ball. Kittle can freaking block.
Lay you out.
It's like old school, like Hobie and all them, John Tyson, all that. That's the thing. So Kubiak saying, like, even challenging Foster Morrow, I'm sure. Come on, dude. We count on you to set that edge. So all of a sudden, we're giving Alvin Kamara the ball in space. And before the defense actually touches him, he already gained 4 yards. Hello. That starts happening. Put eight in the box.
I think with this offense, and you know better than I do, that and this whole thing only works with blocking, right? Even from a wide receiver standpoint. You got to have the blocking, this whole space for wide receivers, quick release quarterback to the outside. You got to have your other wide receiver blocking or tight ends blocking. But none of this works. And so I agree. And I think this tight end, whoever that third guy is, and I don't believe Juwan will be back, you know, as we get towards the beginning of the season.
Right.
It's hard to say, but I go back to where, you know, we're watching these tight ends now, except for team drills. It's a lot of catching the ball. It's Taysom and Dallin and Jacobson and the new guy, Kevin Rader. So
And the game has changed some because, you know, you flex the tight end and he's more a pass receiving tight end. But I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with old school tight end who could set that edge on the end and block. And all of a sudden,
especially in this offense.
Yeah, you're going downhill, and it's like, whoa, shoot. We got 4 yards, and the defense is just getting to him right now, 3.5, 4 yards. Well, that's frustrating because then you got to bring an extra defender in the box. Then you can therefore exploit the defense and be good in the passing game. And also, I wanted to bring this up to you. I'm intrigued what's going to happen, you know, preseason game, so you're looking at little tidbits. That's one thing about the Cardinals. You know, I'm glad we're practicing against the 49ers, but the Cardinals in a preseason game, you know who they ran all over? The Cardinals can run the ball. So we talk about we want to get our run defense better. I want to say for sure it was Dallas, if not the Eagles. The Cardinals beat them and ran all over them. Well.
Oh, yeah. They won two big games in December. Fourth-best running team in the NFL.
Yes, like you said, Hawks.
James Conner's not going to play, nor their starting offensive line.
But that mentality, though, even though like it starts playing, they still want to run the ball. They were the fourth best rushing team at 139 yards a game. Now, this is puzzling, though. I think we should be able to run against them. I don't know the scheme. They were dead last. They gave up 143 yards a game. And then they were number four rushing. No, the Cardinals play hard. So I was just looking at my notes, getting ready for Saturday, Hoss, and I was like, whoa. That usually you think, because of how they practice and go against one another, that discrepancy, man, they can freaking run the football, but they can't stop the run. They were dead last. I thought that was unusual, considering. And well, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I think – that it's a good team to play in the preseason. They're an enormously young team. So there's no roster spots except for like five guys.
Yeah, it's like the fourth youngest team, Hoss, in the whole NFL.
Right, so they're all going to play, or, you know, most of them. And they're all going to be hungry. They're all fighting for a roster spot. And so I think it is a good team to play in the preseason because of that. You're going to get a better barometer of kind of where you stand against a team like Arizona, even though they haven't done well from a record standpoint,
right,
in the last few years. I mean, they got some. You look at their up and down their 90. They have gone to the free agent market in the last 2 years, the unrestricted free agent. I mean, it's just, you know, and not to mention that because of their record, they drafted 12 guys this in 24, and like the same amount in 23. That's a lot of, you know, young.
No, they're young
that you can throw out there, and you know. That you're not resting, you're not saving. You're like, hey.
Hoss, how about this? And Steve, Charlie, I'll listen to this. Okay, look at the Saints. Okay, they were 9-8. Nothing to write home about, right? And the Cardinals play hard now. They play hard. Look, they whooped Dallas. They beat the Eagles. Just shows you the parity in the NFL. But they won 4 games. I can tell you why they only won 4 games. Do you know what they gave up their scoring defense? They gave up right at 27 points a game. You ain't winning nothing. They gave up 26.8. We gave up 19.2. So we were eighth in the NFL at 19 points. So you look at that. Was that not quite 8 points more, but that was one before last. And then you look at this turnover margin. We were plus 11. They were minus one.
Oof. Yeah.
Well, you wonder why they won 4 games? That's why. I mean, it's amazing when you look, when you break down, and if you look at like a sample size, and you look like scoring offense, scoring defense, are you taking away the ball, are you protecting it? All of these categories that you can kind of break down where a team's at. But the one thing about the Cardinals is that you better pack a lunch. I always say this. You know, you think like, oh, I'm just showing up the NFL. We can beat them. They sorry, man. They won three or four games, whatever. No, you get humbled. And the Cardinals are that type team. They play hard. They play hard. So I think this is a good preseason measuring stick for the Saints come Saturday.
And it's they're defensive minded, you know.
Yeah.
Jonathan Gannon,
right?
Young guy, defense with DC in Philadelphia. So yeah, I agree. It's kind of where's this offense and going against a young, hungry defense.
Flying to the football. Yeah.
Exactly.
Hoss, who's going to be playing wide receiver for us? I know the Saints are down in numbers there.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, the Mason Tipton wasn't there again today. You know, Stanley Morgan. So Cedric's going to be around. Olave won't play. Equanimeous has been hurt. Bub Means was back on the sidelines, but not dressed. A.T. Perry there. Shahid not and wasn't practicing. Kevin Austin, Marquez, and Samson Nacua. So yeah. Kevin, Samson, Marquez, A.T., Stanley, Cedric. Is that six? I think that's what they had six today who were actually taking part. And Coach Allen said that, you know, six is kind of what we anticipate going on Saturday. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah.
Well, and you know what Hoss, what's going to be like? People need a roster. Who's playing cornerback for us? It's going to be in the game. The Saints are because of injuries.
Cornerback or quarter?
Cornerback. Look, the injuries have stacked up at the cornerback position. I mean, you think the fans know who Shamir Jean-Charles or John Charles, how he wants to be called, or Rajon Wright? The fans don't know who in the hell that is. You know, they know a Debo, they know Lattimore, they know
Alante,
like, even Ugo. Everybody's hurt.
Willard Bradford and Rico Payton and
yeah.
Lawrence Johnson.
Who's that? The fan.
Mac McCain.
It's like we had an outstanding pass defense in the secondary, but it's a lot of new faces. That's one area I know that is like, I mean, who's even playing defensive back for us this game?
Well, I think we're going to see some guys. Well, I think we're going to see Will Harris, you know.
Right, a safety, yeah.
College, right, and Jonathan Abram. Roderick Teamer, the fifth-year
Tulane.
And where do we see the step forward for Jordan Howden? You know, the Justin Simmons, not a whole lot new on that, so that just stays out there. So,
well, if we ever sign Justin Simmons, Hoss, he's starting. I can tell you right now.
Until then,
I don't know if it's going to work out, right.
Mike Hoss, voice of the Saints, appreciate the time and looking forward to hearing your call on Saturday. Football back, baby.
All right, Hoss.
All right, fellas, good talking to you.
All right.
Mike Hoss, voice of the Saints. You can hear him and Deuce McAllister Friday with the call, Saturday with the call right here on WWL 7 o'clock kickoff in Arizona. Be back with more sports talk right after this on WWL. Football. Preseason action is going on right now. We're in the third quarter of the Patriots-Carolina game. The Pats up 7-0 over Carolina. For the Patriots, guys, Kayshon Booty leading them in receiving. 3 receptions for 53 yards. So shout out to him. Hopefully he can continue his ascent there. It's been a rough run for him. Looking at the New York Giants, Detroit Lions game, the G-Men up 14-3. It's been Eric Gray at running back for the Giants. His 4 carries, 52 yards, and 2 TDs.
Well, we're getting ready after the Cardinals to go against, and Charlie, you and Steve, I want your opinion on this. Then all of a sudden, Brandon Ayuk. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, we get ready to go against the 49ers. Right. Said, okay, looks like he's going to be traded. I don't think he's traded yet.
No, even Christian McCaffrey, though, in an interview said his former teammate. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, so it was kind of like the rumors, Patriots, Steelers, and then the Patriots were offering more, but not necessarily.
Apparently the Patriots are out.
Right.
Not wanting to go play for the Patriots. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Now, think about that. You know, no Tom Brady, but the team of the 21st century, the Chiefs are on the cusp.
Right.
They're not there yet. But who's more 21st century champion than the Patriots?
No, no doubt about it.
Right?
But like you said, it's like that was a quick fall off the cliff.
And all of a sudden, I don't think I want to go there.
It's like, why?
Yeah. It's like, but Ayuk wanting to go to the Steelers. Mike Tomlin, I don't know. I mean, he's not an offensive coach. You better watch what you wish for. Because, you know, you can spread the wealth and all different weapons and with the 49ers.
And they still got questions at quarterback, too. Who knows what's going to shake out there?
You could want to be the highest paid, and I understand that, $30 million receiver plus, whatever might happen. Okay.
I think Ayuk's good, but he's not on that next level like a Jefferson or even a CeeDee Lamb.
Right.
CeeDee deserves that $30 million.
No, yeah, exactly.
Apparently giving him.
Exactly.
But with Ayuk, though, I've heard buzz about Pittsburgh, and Cleveland is apparently one of those dark horses trying to get involved.
Cleveland.
I don't know.
Amari Cooper.
Well, they're supposedly he was going to be part of a trade, I heard. Him and some picks.
Okay.
Mike and I have been saying this for a while now. I so badly want the Commanders to make a swing for Brandon Ayuk. Just because if you're helping a young quarterback out and you have that receiving trio of Ayuk and Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson for, you know, first year Jaden Daniels to be thrown to in Cliff Kingsbury's offense.
Right. Don't sleep on those commies then.
I'm telling you, man.
That's one of my hot takes. Let me tell you, either the Chicago. Bobby, you got to pick one. No, I'm going to pick two. Either the Chicago Bears or the Washington Commanders. One of those teams will be relevant and a playoff team. They ain't done anything forever. One of those
August 8th from the Cajun Cannon.
One of those teams will be relevant this year, and then their fan bases will be ecstatic.
Well, we're going to take a break, and we'll be relevant when we get back right after this on Sports Talk. It is an off day for the Saints tomorrow. Cajun Cannon, they'll be traveling to Arizona. And like I said, soon enough, we'll be talking about preseason action. Saturday, our coverage starts First Take at 3, the countdown, the kickoff at 5. Boom, kickoff in Arizona 7. And then we got the point after going till 1 a.m.
Well, yeah, and I'm looking forward to actually playing tackle football. But, you know, you want to see quality football. Can they tackle? You know, like, oh, well, we were in position, but we couldn't tackle. No, so that's why if you don't want to, like, maybe have to change the rules, how about you tackle when you have that opportunity?
Me and Charlie back tomorrow. Cajun Cannon, say goodnight to everyone.
All right. Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who dat? Go Saints.
Football, football, football. Preseason action is going on right now. We're in the third quarter of the Patriots-Carolina game. The Pats up 7-0 over Carolina. For the Patriots, guys, Kayshon Boutte leading them in receiving. 3 receptions for 53 yards. So shout out to him. Hopefully he can continue his ascent there. I know it's been a rough run for him. Looking at the New York Giants-Detroit Lions game, the G-Men up 14-3. It's been Eric Gray at running back for the Giants. His 4 carries, 52 yards, and 2 TDs.
Well, we're getting ready after the Cardinals to go against, and Charlie, you and Steve, I want your opinion on this. Then all of a sudden, Brandon Ayuk. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, we're getting ready to go against the 49ers. Right. Said, okay, looks like he's going to be traded. I don't think he's traded yet.
No, even Christian McCaffrey, though, in an interview said his former teammate. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, so it was kind of like the rumors, Patriots, Steelers, and then the Patriots were offering more, but not necessarily.
Apparently the Patriots are out.
Right.
Not wanting to go play for the Patriots. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Now, think about that. You know, no Tom Brady, but... the team of the 21st century, the Chiefs are on the cusp.
Right.
They're not there yet. But who's more 21st century champion than the Patriots?
No, no doubt about it.
Right?
But like you said, it's like that was a quick fall off the cliff.
And all of a sudden, I don't think I want to go there. It's like, but Ayuk wanting to go to the Steelers. Mike Tomlin, I don't know. I mean, he's not an offensive coach. You better watch what you wish for. Because, you know, you can spread the wealth and all different weapons and with the 49ers.
And they still got questions at quarterback, too. Who knows what's going to shake out there?
You could want to be the highest paid, and I understand that, $30 million receiver plus, whatever might happen. Okay.
I think Ayuk's good, but he's not on that next level like a Jefferson or even a CeeDee Lamb.
Right.
CeeDee deserves that $30 million.
No,
exactly. Apparently giving him.
Exactly.
But with Aiyuk, though, I've heard buzz about Pittsburgh, and Cleveland is apparently one of those dark horses that's trying to get involved.
Cleveland.
I don't know.
Amari Cooper.
Well, they're supposedly he was going to be part of a trade, I heard. Him and some picks.
Okay.
Mike and I have been saying this for a while now. I so badly want the Commanders to make a swing for Brandon Aiyuk. Just because if you're helping a young quarterback out and you have that receiving trio of Aiyuk and Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson for, you know, first year Jaden Daniels to be thrown to in Cliff Kingsbury's offense.
Right. Don't sleep on those commies then.
I'm telling you, man.
That's one of my hot takes. So let me tell you, either the Chicago. Bobby, you got to pick one. No, I'm going to pick two. Either the Chicago Bears or the Washington Commanders. One of those teams will be relevant and a playoff team. They ain't done anything forever. One of those
August 8th from the Cajun Cannon.
One of those teams will be relevant this year, and then their fan bases will be ecstatic.
Well, we're going to take a break, and we'll be relevant when we get back right after this on Sports Talk. It is an off day for the Saints tomorrow, Cajun Cannon. They'll be traveling to Arizona, and like I said, soon enough, we'll be talking about preseason action. Saturday, our coverage starts First Take at 3, the countdown, the kickoff at 5, boom, kickoff in Arizona 7, and then we got the point after going till 1 a.m.
Well, yeah, and I'm looking forward to the actually playing tackle football, but you want to see quality football. Can they tackle? You know, like, oh, well, we were in position, but we couldn't tackle. No, so that's why if you don't want to, like, maybe have to change the rules, how about you tackle when you have that opportunity?
Me and Charlie back tomorrow. Cajun Cannon, say goodnight to everyone.
All right. Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who that? Go Saints.